All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, November 15th of 2025. Looking ahead to the weekend, we have a ton of DFS action coming at you, from NFL to college football to NHL to NBA, as well as a host of other sports. So it should be a fun weekend here. For those of you who are new, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays here at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. All right. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me on a Saturday morning or afternoon, depending on where you live. Got a couple questions queued up for the show today. Got the NFL main slate pulled up to start, so we will start there and then just kind of see where we go. So first question of the day, I've cashed in the top 10 on every sport using SaberSim except NBA. What am I doing wrong? It's like bad, like no lineups cash. Yeah, so it's really hard to say, obviously, without seeing your lineups, without seeing what your process looks like. A more detailed analysis and more kind of specific help, right? It is better to reach out to our support team, support@sabersim.com. Send us an email saying, hey, I'm really struggling. Was hoping for like some feedback or some tips, and then we can kind of take it from there. That's like your best avenue. As far as, you know, the only thing that kind of stands out to me, right, is that if you're doing well in every sport except NBA, maybe you're not late swapping enough. Right. NBA is just a completely different type of DFS sport where lineups are announced late. Questionable players get ruled out last minute. If you're not around at lock to rebuild lineups, if you're not paying attention to news after the slate starts, even if it's players not even in your lineup. Right. Let's say I don't have any players on the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic gets ruled out. You know, you might be like, hey, I don't need to swap. You know, I didn't have him. But, like, you do need to swap because now so much opportunity opens up with Jokic being out. And there's just more shots to go around and more minutes and all those type of things, right? So the biggest thing with NBA is paying attention to the news throughout the entire night, not just pre-slate. And so that's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head. But like I said, reach out to our support team, and we'll be happy to help you out and have a more detailed conversation. All right, next question. In Showdown, is there a way to control confirmed, say, 5, and non-confirmed, say, 1 in my build? All right, I'm not 100% sure which sport this is for. I'm going to guess this is related to NBA Showdown. So let's say we go to an NBA Showdown slate. And maybe, you know, we're waiting on lineup news to come out and stuff like that, right? I believe you can use this status column, okay? So let's try this. Let's go to rules. We're going to say use at least 5. And we're going to say any for position. And then we're going to add a requirement where status is confirmed, exactly like that. So I'm going to remove the question, move my face over. But you would write a rule like this. Group auto, use at least 5, position any, make sure everyone's checked, status is confirmed. This is what you would want to do to make sure you have at least 5 confirmed players. So basically 5 starting players. And you know, maybe you want to do this for main slates too, right? You would just basically write the same rule. So you just wouldn't have this position, any flex captain option. But the requirement is the most important part. Status is confirmed, so just look for that. And I'd probably caution against using that on main slates, actually, thinking about it. The main reason, right, is that a lot of lineups are not going to be confirmed. You know, if we look at the slate tonight, right, four-game slate, if you did this even 5 minutes before lock, you would get five players from the first two games because the Lakers, Milwaukee, Denver, and Minnesota, their lineups have not been confirmed. So although we would assume, Luka's starting, Giannis is starting, Jokic is starting, Anthony Edwards is starting, they wouldn't be part of that rule, right? So you got to be a little bit careful with something like that. But just a word of caution. All right. Another NBA question. How should I be building for NBA? I follow a pretty simple process as recommended in the strategy videos. I feel like there's more I could be doing. Should I curate a player pool? Should I focus on certain predictive stats and playing those players? I don't watch NBA, so while familiar with names, I don't have takes on how much or how little I want of particular players. Any advice is appreciated. Yeah, good question here. So you have to be careful, you know, with hard and fast rules. Like, I need to be careful giving advice, right? Because slates change, you know, slate dynamics change, and what can be good on one slate might not be so good on another slate, right? I think an example would be, we see the top three projected players are all questionable tonight, right? Jokic, Doncic, Giannis. I could give you a certain advice, but then what if all three of these players are ruled out? You know, the advice might not work the same way as it would on like a quote unquote normal slate, right? So there's some adjustments that need to kind of be made on the fly. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, you can have some like baseline or kind of default rules or things that you do, but always be flexible in DFS. I think that's like the important part here is you need to be flexible and you need to be willing to change things up based on slate context. Now, the best way to get slate context, right? This is an important thing. Even if you're not familiar with NBA, right? You want to learn about the slate. I think there's two good ways to do this. Number one, go to status, filter for questionables. Look at the questionables, even write them down. You're mostly looking for high ownership, high salary players, okay? And it's one or the other, high ownership or high salary, okay? It's not a combination. Because even if Jokic is, you know, 5% owned, when he gets rolled out, that's massive, right? So high projection, high salary, high ownership, some combination of those three, right? I would be writing down Jokic, Doncic, Giannis, Reeves here, right? Those are like the four players that I think are very, very valuable to the slate. And I want to make sure that we confirm their status out or in. Okay. So slate context in with regard to statuses, and then slate context with regards to value. Okay. Value is also very important on a slate. Now on DraftKings, I think FanDuel's kind of the same. I'm not 100% sure. Usually a value over six is what I would – a value of six is kind of my own benchmark for like quote-unquote high value, right? Like, hey, this is a high-value player. Here, right, we see that there are no players above six. The highest is 5.41, right? It's kind of low. And what I'm looking for is like, okay, you know – I would imagine that, like, if Giannis gets ruled out, right, the other Bucks players are going to get some of this projection, you know, Kuzma, Rollins, Turner, maybe Bobby Portis, right? And their values are going to go up. So value is an indicator of, like, hey, something maybe you should look into more, right? Like, what if I saw a bunch of six values for Milwaukee? I would go to Milwaukee and then like, oh, you know, Giannis is out. Oh, you know, this player is out. That player is out. Whatever it might be. Right? So I think that you could do some stuff with figuring out where the best spots of the night are based on status and value. And then I think that, you know, if you want to, I don't think it's a bad idea. You could curate your pool a little bit. I would do something really, really simple where I would probably just like scroll down. And this is a smaller slate, right? So you got to be like a little bit careful. But I would be looking for, you know, maybe where there's just not like a lot of ownership and ownership kind of like drops off. 12 points feels like kind of a good benchmark here, right? And maybe I go in and I set up a filter and I say something with my projection greater than 12, right? But 12 might work on this slate, but 12 might not work on a 11-game slate, right? You might need a bigger number. So this is like where the flexibility part kind of comes in. So yeah, I'm cutting off some of these lower projected players here. It's totally okay thing to do, in my opinion. But if you want to do something like that, I think that's okay. One other thing I've heard people do in the past, and this is like kind of like an old NBA heuristic that has lived a long time, that is like generally okay, is using a rule that says use no more than three from the same team, right? A rule like this, the logic for the rule is that, you know, if Luka is shooting the ball, then that is a shot that Reeves does not take, right? And there are a finite amount of shots to go around in an NBA game. And so when you take like two high salary players from the same team, they usually kind of eat away at each other a little bit. I think a good example would be like when Luka and Kyrie were on the same team, two kind of like players that need the ball in their hands to like make a fantasy impact, right? So I think that it has something to do with the idea behind this rule. Again, it could be a fine rule, but what if, you know, there's a slate where there's a bunch of high value players from the same team, right? You might want to turn it off, or what you might want to do is you might want to get creative. And then you do something like, okay, I'm going to limit all the teams to three, except for the team with the high value. And maybe there's one high value team on the slate, right? We'll stick with Milwaukee. I can change this to a manual rule. It'll create a rule for each team individually. And then in my rule menu, I can open up this drop down. I'm like, okay, well, we're fine with three players from every team except Milwaukee. We actually want to change this. And we're willing to go for Milwaukee, and I'm going to change the name of the rule as well. And then when I go back into my rule menu, right, I can see that, hey, you know, I am allowing three players from every team at most, except Milwaukee. I've changed them to four because I think that four players are actually viable from this team. So I think there's, you know, some ability to use manual rules and be hyper-specific with that regard, if you want to do something like that. But those are the main things I can think about. I'm spitballing a little bit. These aren't things that I'm actively doing, but just wanted to provide some ideas about things that you could experiment with more than anything. All right. So far, so good on questions. Why don't we do a little bit of an NBA demo here? So let's say we're building 20 lineups for the main slate tonight. Obviously, I would want to pay attention to the slate context clues that I noted earlier. But aside from that, right, let's say we're going to build 1,500 lineups, not going to make adjustments to min or max salary or sliders, going to leave our filter rule on in this example here. So we're going to kick off this build. All right, this build is finishing up. Okay, so I'm going to use Unique Spawn Saber Score for this just because I don't have an entry file loaded up. And I prefer to view my lineups a little bit in the expanded view. All right. So here, I ran the build. I'm using SaberScore, or you could be using Portfolio, Portfolio Plus, whatever subscription you're on, right? I would recommend the Portfolio options. I'm just not using it because I don't have an entry file loaded up. I do have my projection and SaberScore aggregate metrics. These are good things to have in case you are going to be making adjustments to Minimax exposures, which I'm probably going to be doing here because I am using uniques, and that is tends to be a little bit more concentrated. So nice to have these like data points, these kind of baselines as to where my original numbers are, so I can make sure I'm not making too big of an adjustment in any one direction. So this is kind of interesting, right? I'm looking at my exposures now, starting to analyze this, and I noticed that, you know, I have two players above 80%, Tim Hardaway and Anthony Edwards, right? This becomes a little bit of like a risk management question for me, where it's like, okay, I go to Denver, right? I'm seeing a bunch of Denver players. And, okay, Christian Brown is out and Cam Johnson are out, right? I'm looking into this. Okay, Brown and Johnson are out. That's most likely why guys like Hardaway and Bruce Brown are popping. Okay, that makes some sense. Let's just look at this team. Okay, Jokic, Murray, Gordon, Watson, Hardaway, Brown, Valanciunas, Strother. Okay, so what I'm seeing is like, okay, we're expecting Jokic, Murray, Gordon to start, of course. Looks like we're expecting Watson and Hardaway to start at like 4 or 5. And then Bruce Brown to be like the first man off the bench, right? Valanciunas probably subs in for Jokic, not taking too many minutes away from these other smaller guys. And then Strother's working in as like the seventh man, right? So it does make sense why we're seeing some Hardaway and Brown here. I'm a little surprised we're not seeing any Watson. I understand his salary is a little bit higher, might not grade out as well on like a point per dollar basis. But in my head, you know, these three players probably are probably a little bit more equal than you might imagine. So like having so much of Hardaway and Brown and none of Watson feels a little bad. I would actually like to at least like match his ownership here, just to be like a little bit closer. Okay, so we at least get even here. Notice Hardaway and Brown come down a little bit. These are, you know, when I look at this, right, and I look at these exposures top down, you know, I have Hardaway, Brown, Edwards as like my top three all tied 75%, all about the same leverage, right? Well, personally, I'm a lot more comfortable taking Edwards at this rate, right? Because he's a high projection, high salary. We know he's very involved. And these other players, right, Hardaway and Brown, are a little bit, I don't know, sketchier, a little bit more fragile, where we understand they're going to get more minutes, but I'm not 100% positive that's going to lead to, like, more shots and they're actually going to be like very involved in like the game, right? So maybe I'm okay with some leverage, but maybe I'm not okay with this much, right? Maybe I want to lower them to like 2x the field, you know, 60%. So I apply that. Now my top exposures are Edwards, Kuzma, and then Brown and Hardaway tied with Poeltl and Giannis, right? This feels a little bit better. I'm getting some value still, right? Kuzma's a little value. Hardaway, Brown. I've gotten my Watson exposure up a little bit, so I'm not taking such a big stand against him. And now I feel a lot more comfortable with where I'm at, right? I've sacrificed a little bit of SaberScore, about 11%. Started at 187. 11% is still less than 10%, so it feels okay. Pretty sure my projection started at 254. So I'm pretty happy that it's still like near the 254 range here. But again, right, I'm using slate context. I'm looking into situations based on what's popping for me and trying to make sense of stuff and just kind of taking it from there, right? So I think portfolio will get you a lot closer to start with than uniques does, but this is kind of like a example of thinking through a slate and making risk management decisions in the post build. But after this, I'd basically be ready to rock and roll. I would save these lineups and upload them to my contest. So hope that helps you guys out. I saw another comment about NBA stuff in office hours, so hopefully this helps Bills and Dean. But with that said, we are all caught up with questions, knocked out a slate demo. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.